Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
reading a hands-on IoT training device research paper I'm making. What I'm going to do is I'm going to cover just the sort of additional parts I've added to the paper. It's sort of a really long thing, and I'm getting a bit philosophical because it's a really complex thing, particularly because it's been classed as too hard, and I did this chase up this sort of crisis of defunct concepts. And then as I go to do it, these defunct concepts, which are really badly taught, what they've done is they've decided in New South Wales they are no longer going to teach anything about solid state. I'm going to leave it completely. They could just cut it out. They were getting chronically eye-wateringly wrong with the 1913 atom. And what they've done is they've done the sensible thing. They've gone back to the 1911 atom, which is just bizarre. So I'm reading through here, and I've got the different parts, and things are sort of coming together, but it's sort of so hard to find out the different parts here. Now, what I've done is you've presented one, the Gittins of Umbaloo, a focus of how an A to D analog to digital converters goes, and I've broken it up into these things. Something happens, voltage changes, signal snapshot, digital approximation, reporting the approximation, and reset. And of course, there's obviously more steps to it here. And I've got the diagram of that happening, the serial approximation, sample and hold into comparator, a digital, an A to D produces a signal, and the result modifies the SAR. But here I'm going to read up about the deeper detail. So this is your base circuit, but that's surrounded by other things. Or the detail. So in the detail, I've got the comparator, digitally controlled analog signal preconditioning, digital sensor response shaping, on-chip averaging and calibration, external and internal clocking, alarms, address. Now, these are all things going across. So it's like in a car going across. So I'll read it here again for Michael to have a listen to. Okay, the comparator, a high gain voltage difference amplifier that amplifies negative input difference. That should be an input difference which is negative to a large negative value, but this is clipped to 0 volts, or similarly a positive difference which is amplified to a large positive value, but this is clipped to a supply difference, effectively making it converting it to a digital signal, digital feedback. Digitally controlled analog to signal preconditioning. The A to D chip may have several measurement inputs potentially, each on an independent sample and hold. A small analog signal can be increased by multiplication factor called gain by amplifiers. The factor set digitally by the switch. That's really poorly written, but I've got to work on it. Digital sensor response shaping. So, the A2D chip can account for different sensor sensitivity across its range, effectively using a lookup table to report corrected interpretations. In the case of a temperature sensor, A2D will measure a voltage but report the temperature it interprets using factory set adjustment factors. So, that's really scrambled. I should really put the factory set. There's the factory set adjustment factors allow this to happen. On-chip averaging calibration. Some chips can be instructed to perform a calibration or report only the average of a number of measurements. Report any average. Internal or external internal clocking provides timing pulses for synchronizing multiple circuits in the ADD and set the tempo. Set the tempo of the ones and noughts that are outputted. Heard the kookaburras there, so it is definitely in Australia. Okay. Alarms. Some ADD chips can be programmed to output a voltage on an output wire if a value held in the memory ready for transmission is above or below a certain value. In this case, the digital sensor doesn't have to communicate it, it just switches something on or off when the condition changes. Address. Now, this is like a telephone number of the sensor that allows commands to be sent to a particular address, the information to be identified as coming from, or information identified as coming from this address. So it's like a telephone line. So those things I have to really work on. And then I've got this really crazy stuff, which I'm almost embarrassed by it so hard. With so much additional functionalities, things it can do, A to D computers. They use the same components and technology of a computer, but it can't be programmed further once they leave the factory. They cut down computers as the less they do, the smaller the amount of power they take. Once they're fast enough to do a job, tracking of what the sensors detects, further design improvements have gone into making them more reliable with fewer failing quality assessment, which is, you know, that's how you reduce the price. Like if I've got $100 and I can make them twice as fast, I'll get no extra money. But if I make them more reliable, I should expand this a bit more. Okay. So, a class above these chips are the programmable logic controllers, PLCs, that the user can program by connecting it to their desktop via USB. And the UB has a PLC to manage all the different sensors. Probably your clothes dryer has them. And it says the Fisher & Paykel plays the national anthem. But they'll become prevalent in your toaster, which will have to receive software updates. The hardware and software are designed for low power, and this branch of electronics went into mobile phones rather than taking on desktop computers. At the high end, PLCs of the Raspberry Pi uses a 1.5 GHz 64 quad-core processor. It's getting very close to computers, but probably not quite yet. The UB is more like a sensor white good using lower cost, lower power consumption PLC, and it's part of the ecosystem of technology options. That's just really badly put. Then I talk about the 1987. So I do like sort of by putting a story around it. It means it's actually, you can actually pull the story out and in. It's a sort of self-contained. Now, the age silicon. Now, this is the next bit which I worked on. So essentially what's happened is, I'll just read it and see how it goes. So that's another Australian bird, the not as cute as the kookaburra, is it? It's a self-crested cockatoo. Sensors work by having a measurable response to their environment. Digital sensors work by measuring the measurement and reporting, converting this measurement into a voltage, or creating voltage which represents this measurement, and reporting this, in most cases, as a train of highs, high and lows, voltages. Harmless digital things. As students look into the UB and see that these signals encounter a series of silicon crystals, which in the UB leaves the UB via an antenna. They are told that the signals go to the cloud from there to their mobile phone before they may have held a bolt thermometer in their hand. Now they hold a handful of sensors. Some of them are already really just silicon crystals. Each sensors are connected by wires and go through two or three silicon crystals, in some cases crossing the planet to other crystals and then back through optical fibers, crystals, antenna, and then back to the mobile phone held in their other hands. Nothing could be simpler. So, gee, that's got so much work involved in it. Okay. And, yeah, and then I've just got this, now gone to a table, which sort of goes, what's taught in school? What's taught in school? And, what's quantum mechanics? So I've just got a lot of work to do on that. So I'll just pass that podcast quickly off to Michael, so he can sort of just hear what's happening in that section. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.